second line.
Can't even hear him.
I'll try it again.
Welcome to CrimeWire, the place for information, news, and most importantly, justice. I am Kim Colton, your host. Our interactive website is www.crimewiresite.com. You can call in anytime during the show. The number is 1-646-478-0982. Or you can participate in tonight's show simply by going to the live interactive chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. If you are a friend or family member and would like to send CrimeWire information on an unsolved or suspicious death case, or have a specific crime-related topic you'd like to have discussed on a future show, email us at thecrimewire@gmail.com. Well, tonight, my very, very special guests are Denny Griffin, retired investigator turned true crime author, Frank Collada, former associate of the Chicago Outfit, who also served as technical consultant for the 1995 hit movie Casino and appeared in several scenes as a hitman, and Robert George Allen, longtime Las Vegas entertainer and entrepreneur. He currently operates the Las Vegas Mob Tour and the Las Vegas Haunted Tour, as well as the Good Springs Ghost Tour, and can be heard live right here on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday at 2:30 Pacific Time on his show, Ghosts and Gangsters. Well, welcome, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
So, I'm glad you're all here. Tonight, I want to discuss the upcoming mega event, MobCon 2013, which is being called Robert, and Denny is arranging speakers and also he will also be a presenter. Let's see, my first question. Where will MobCon be taking place?
Well, actually, it's called the Palace Station Casino in Las Vegas, and that'll be on September 7th and 8th. And Palace Station is across the highway ramp from what the Sahara used to be, the Sahara Hotel, when it was open. It's not open now. They're remodeling it. But if you go to the corner where Sahara Hotel was and go right over the freeway bridge, you can't miss it. You'll see it from there.
That's a fantastic place. I love Palace Station. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Robert, while I've got you here, I understand that besides the speakers, books, and DVDs, there will also be mob memorabilia. Can you tell us about that?
Well, there's a gentleman, actually he's a friend of Frank's, that, he has, I guess, a store. Is that right, Frank? Is it a store?
Yeah, he's got a large place with a lot of memorabilia.
Right, and he's going to bring some of that stuff. He said he's got some newspapers that are original newspapers that said Capone found guilty, sentenced to Alcatraz, or whatever it is.
Wow.
Those kind of things. And he's also got a whole bunch of really cool memorabilia. And we're going to auction off something. He hasn't told me exactly what yet. He's going to try to pick something that isn't outrageously expensive, I would imagine. But we're going to auction off some mob memorabilia. I'm not sure exactly what he's picking, but he said he would get with me soon in the next few days.
He's got good stuff.
Oh, cool. So most of it will just be up for sale. You can buy it. And then
right. There
will be a couple of pieces that might be auctioned.
If it sells and if the auction goes, then Frank and Denny and I are going to put a piece of our proceeds to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So.
Oh, God bless. That is one of my charities. It's my only charity is St. Jude's.
That's a great one. It is a great one.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know. So, Denny, are you still with us? Because we're having a very bad connection with you tonight, my darling.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's really not good.
Okay, what I'm going to do is... I'll just hang up. Keep me out, Kim, and I'll just listen to you guys talk.
Oh, no, now you sound fine. Doesn't he sound fine, Robert? Frank?
Yep. You just did.
You just sounded fine. So let's
see. Well, maybe the gremlin left.
Maybe the gremlin left. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you had a frog in your throat.
So, and Denny, we were talking about the memorabilia that will be there, and the is there anything else you want to add to that?
Well, we're certainly going to have the memorabilia, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of this stuff. I heard that this man has quite an assortment and quite a collection, so I'll be anxious to take a peek at it. And, of course, the books and DVDs and stuff that the speakers and presenters have, there's going to be some great stuff there as far as that goes. So I'll probably end up bringing back more than I bargained for.
That's usually what I do at conventions. I always go home with a bigger suitcase.
And Denny, you know how they have those people at auctions that they're on the phone with somebody, their cell phones, and they bid for them?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be me and you, okay?
Okay.
Just saying.
I want to mention that we're also going to have some really cool raffle prizes we're going to give away. The guys haven't heard about some of this stuff. I found this wine called The Fugitive, and it's about a guy on the run from the law. And it's a great-looking bottle, so we're going to be giving away that. And we're going to have some MobCon T-shirts. We're going to have dinner with a mobster or FBI guy of your choice is one of the mm-hmm. raffle prizes. So there's some cool stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I should gain about 50 God. Pounds.
Yeah.
I was going to give, if a woman friends, we're just going to give her a weekend with Frank. That's it.
Oh.
You might sell out.
That would be good. Come on, girl. Come on down and meet Frank.
Just spend the weekend with Frank.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind it. Okay.
Either I'll gain 50 pounds or I'll wind up losing 50 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. hey, one thing I wanted to talk about tonight was, and this is for all of you, I know, Robert, you have feelings on this, but your response to people who feel MobCon 2013 is glorifying the mafia, and I guess they're all up in arms over this for some crazy reason. All of you, please comment. Go ahead. Anybody wants to
Frank,
start?
Go ahead, Frank. You tell her first.
No, I like you. You talk better than me.
Well, I've been saying this all along. Look, when I came to Vegas in the early 70s, and I know Frank was here then too, I think, or mid-70s, you know, there was a lot of places still being run by the guys. But let's face it, if it wasn't for the mob, Las Vegas wouldn't be here. They're the ones who put all the money up, built the casinos, created the buzz, made the town, put it on the map. And, of course, things change, and that's the way life is. But now there's a group of people in Las Vegas, and actually across the country, who would like to pretend that the American mob didn't exist and to just close their eyes and say, oh, Vegas is just this, you know, big corporate town, and it's got all these great casinos, and let's just not talk about our mob past. Now, we're not glorifying the mob or the mafia. We're simply saying, you've got to, it's a piece of history. I mean, it's like saying Jesse James and Billy the Kid should not be talked about because they're a piece of history we don't want to remember. You can't do that. History's full of bad and good. And all we're doing is offering people a chance to take a look at a piece of history that will never be back again because of the way Vegas has changed. And the people coming to this are no longer mobsters. These are former mobsters, people who are no longer involved in the organized crime. And if they were such bad people, why would the former FBI agents even come? They're there because all of these people are former, and they have books and a story to tell. And that's what MobCon's about.
Right. If there were such bad people, why would the G-men be there, you know?
Well, you get certain people who don't want to, you know, they just want everything, put everything under the rug and pretend it never was there. That's the problem.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kim, do you,
Frank?
You,
Benny?
Yeah, what? I was just going to add to that what Robert said. That this is history, and I get these questions when I write my true crime bios, and mm-hmm. you know that. People will say, well, you're just glorifying a mobster. No, that is not true. The mobster's life or the stories of the mob are part of history, as Robert said. And I watch a lot of the military channel, and I don't know how many times you see the documentaries about Adolf Hitler. Well, are they glorifying Adolf Hitler? No, but that whole deal was part of history. It's part of world history in that case. Look at the movies and documentaries about the Civil War. Should we be proud or glorify slave owners and that type of thing? No, but it's part of history. It happened. You can't, like Robert said, just sweep it under the rug and pretend it didn't exist. So
exactly.
Talking about it, I think, is appropriate, and in some respects, I think it's healthy to discuss it.
Exactly.
You know,
Why
would people rush to the show to see movies like The Godfather, Wise Guys,
right.
Casino?
Right.
They want to see that. Now, you got a few people running around with collars on, and they're hypocrites, them ones. They're just hypocrites. That's all they are.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
So
and there's an old saying, you know, that says, be careful what you sweep under the rug because it'll come back to bite you. I mean, it's important to know that Adolf Hitler is something that should never happen again. If we get rid of him from history books, there'll be another Adolf Hitler, or maybe in Iran, or who knows where. And, you know, if you don't know, history can't be white or black. It's got to be all shades of gray, white, and in between, and because it's truth. You're asking people to hide the truth. That doesn't work.
No. No,
and you know what I learned, speaking of Hitler again for a second, I don't want to dwell on him, but speaking of that, there's been a lot of talk recently with some of these shootings and so forth about more gun control and all that. I learned through watching the History Channel that one of the first things the Nazi troops did when they took over a country, they confiscated all the weapons. The civilians could not have weapons. The people, the conquered people, had to fess up their weapons. Now, why do you suppose they did that? Because it gave them a lot easier chance, the Nazis, to control the population when the people had no means to fight back.
Sure, they don't have to worry about bullets coming
at them. They're trying to do that right now here.
I know, that scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, I don't think people are going to allow that.
Nobody's going to allow it. I know for sure they won't. You know, you've got these people who think that guns are the problem. Guns aren't the problem. It's the people who use them.
Some idiots. Yeah. They're running around.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. People who have
immature
people who have went through the courses of conceal and carry and have their licenses and bought their guns, those aren't the ones you have to worry about. Now, all the shootings that take place, I feel, are... believe me, they're teenagers, they're young people who bought a gun from some unknown person or whatever, and they have no idea. I mean, come on. It's like you can't even compare it.
The point is that when I was growing up in Chicago, I knew some kids in school that had gotten guns. None of those people bought them legally. Those were guns that they bought on the street. So if you outlaw guns, the outlaws will still have guns. Because they're going to get the ones they've been getting all along, which isn't from a store.
Look at England. Look at England. They got that nobody is allowed to have guns, or they signed this thing and they all give up their guns. Their crime rate over there is higher than it has ever been.
You better
people don't have guns in their house to protect themselves. All the bad guys got the guns now.
That's correct.
I'd never give up my gun. Anyway.
Well, if you spend the weekend with Frank, you better not bring the gun.
I only took mine out on the weekend.
But bring the cannoli.
But bring the cannoli, yeah. Oh, I've got a beautiful 48 police special that is just dear and near to my heart. But anyways, okay.
You got me going, Kim. When you're talking about 48s that are large, you got me going already, so.
Okay. Now it's a 32. It was born in 1948. Yeah, it was born in 1948.
Oh, okay.
Let's just, you know what I mean? Okay. Now, if you could each individually briefly tell our listeners the paths you have traveled to get to where you are today. And I want that individual because you've each, all three of you have taken different paths. Just briefly, Robert, you want to go ahead first?
Sure.
Because you've got an intro.
You know, I left high school and I truthfully didn't know what I wanted to do, but I loved music and I was a guitarist and I was singing in a band in high school. I sang at the sock hops, they called them, or whatever. And I got a chance to go on the road when school ended, and I never went back. I stayed on the road as a musician, and then from that eventually went into comedy and wound up in Las Vegas doing comedy at the Follies Brazier and a bunch of different shows. And then when I retired, I started the Haunted Tour, and people kept saying, is the mob still here? Is the mob still here? So my wife said, they keep asking me about the mob. Why don't you give them a mob tour? And through that, I saw a newspaper that Frank Collada, Dennis Griffin, and Denny Arnoldi had written a book. And I contacted them. And that's how this whole thing wound up where we are today. And through that, we decided to try mob town.
Wow.
What was that noise?
And I don't know what that noise was. We've got VTR. I know. Well, we got BTR problems tonight. I don't know what to say. It's really
there it
not
goes
good.
Again.
Yep. I think it's like a gremlin or something. Or so, Frank. Yeah, a glitch. Denny, you were okay, and then when you came in loud and clear, now we've got all this other stuff going on. So I don't know.
You're fading
Frank,
in and out.
Am I?
Then he's got a string and a can, I think, on the other
end. Maybe I got one.
What? It sounds like a whistle.
I know somebody whistling at Kim.
Yeah.
Maybe
no.
You got another intruder on the line. Maybe the feds are bugging the phones.
That's just they heard us talking about gun control, and now they're angry.
Yeah.
Right.
The NAS is listening, buddy.
NSA.
NSA, I mean.
People in the
chat
room.
Well, my life started out as a teenager. I grew up in a rough neighborhood, and people were all having a hard time. My father and everybody else had a hard time getting jobs, you know, and it was depression and all of that stuff around then. Then they started making money with the bootleg, and then as a kid, I didn't see that bootleg, and I wasn't even born then. But all these guys that made all this money from the bootleg and stuff were around. They were first-generation outfit. And I used to look up at these guys as I was growing up. They all dressed well. They drove nice cars. And they were like all my – they were my idol. And I didn't know anything else but bad guys, let's say, right? And, that's why I looked up. I didn't look up to the President of the United States or – a priest or a fireman or a policeman, I just knew that these other men drove nice cars, had nice ladies around them, had a lot of money, and that's the life I grew up into, and I became connected to the outfit, Chicago outfit. And I can't say that I enjoyed that life, because I'd be lying, and eventually in life everything comes to an end, and then you see the right side of things, and I did, and I got to say that I enjoy my life as much now as I did when I was a criminal. But I do see things in this white-collar world that these guys aren't much better than these old mustache peeps I used to hang with. They just put you on the street homeless, you know. Whereas my people, they take you out of your misery. So, you know, I mean, it's just like, and they're ruthless, these white-collar guys. You know, I mean, they really are.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're terrible, you know. Like I said, our people would just take you out of your misery. That was it. You know, it was over with. But, yeah, and I'm a different guy now, let's say. I may think crazy and stuff like that, but I wouldn't do anything wrong anymore. I have too much to lose. I made a decision in life to do the role, and I done it. And it took me about 20 years to really realize that that was the right thing to do. You got to remember, I was born into a life of crime, and I didn't know anything better. And I thought, you know, well, I'm a no good guy. I'm a rat, you know. And that's not so. Well, one thing I could tell you, there's a difference between an informant and a witness. An informant is somebody that walks around with a wire on, and they're busting people on their own. I guess they like the fame of it, you know. That's their prerogative. I was just a witness, right? I was just testifying against my former boss. I wouldn't wear a wire for several reasons. But that's one's choice. I mean, my choice was not to. I had that opportunity. I could have. But I preferred not to. I think I can live better with myself.
And Frank, when you were saying about that's the life you knew growing up, and that's like really anybody's life. Their father is a firefighter. Their uncle.
And they're
going to
be firefighters, right?
They're going to be firefighters.
And same thing if their father's a policeman. They're going to be policemen,
right.
You know.
Right.
So my father was
and
a criminal.
And that could be said with anything, lawyers, doctors,
right.
Anything.
Well, you know, it's like my father was a cab driver, and that was I was going to be a cab driver, or my mother, she worked for a company that made carburetors, and I looked at those two jobs and said, oh, boy. And the guitar came along luckily for me, and I got into it in high school. And so I took a different route, but if I hadn't learned to play guitar, I'd probably be a cab driver or working in a factory somewhere in Chicago.
Or fixing carburetors.
Right.
How about
right.
you, Danny?
Yeah, Danny?
I started out actually not knowing what I wanted to do. Even when I was in high school or junior high school, you took these aptitude tests, and it always came back that my career was going to be in law enforcement. An investigator.
Really?
I was going to be kind of
wow.
investigator, cop, private investigator.
Wow.
So that turned out to be true. And when I retired from that, I really didn't know what to do with myself. And I started an interest in writing books. And that led me eventually to Dennis Arnoldy and then to Frank and then to Robert. And it was kind of like the domino effect. I met these people through my researching for my books, and that's kind of what led me to where we are today. So I got a second career from the
and
law
I might
enforcement.
Add you're
and
great,
you, and
a great author.
Yes, you are.
Well,
you've
thank
done
you.
A heck of a job with your second career. It's great. I don't know how good you were at your first one, but you're damn good at this one, I can tell you that.
That's right.
Well, thank you. And I enjoy
welcome.
It. So I want to say that I'm really looking forward to MobCon because of that. I've met, you know, I'm naturally curious. Maybe that was my investigator background. But I really want to talk to some of these speakers. And there's a heck of a slate of speakers, you know, from both sides. And I think, yeah, the attendees are going to be very happy. I think we've got from the mob side, and I hope I don't miss anybody. We've got Frank, of course. Andrew DiDonato, who was associated with the Gambino family, and I wrote Andrew's book, also co-authored it with him. You got Tony Montana, was an outfit guy. You've got,
More stories than guy in a rocking chair. This guy can talk forever. He's amazing.
Frankie Calabrese. Frank Calabrese, who was also associated with the Chicago people, and he wrote a book called Family Secrets, and he and his father and his uncle, his uncle and father actually testified in his family secret saying, and his father was one of the guys that was involved in the Spilotro brothers' murders, Tony and Michael Spilotro.
Oh.
And I can't wait to talk to him in person. We've talked a little
bit
about him.
Yeah, and he testified against his own father because he felt
he was for a wire against his father.
A horrible person, and he wanted to get him off the street, I guess, more than the law did, probably, you know.
Did I miss any of the mob guy? I think that's...
Kenji Gallo.
Kenji Gallo. He was a Colombo, associated with Colombo people. And worked undercover with the FBI and brought down some of those guys. So he's got,
how about
again,
a few of them schmucks that dropped out because they wanted to get paid to talk?
We won't mention
them. But a few schmucks. No, we don't have to mention their names. But they know who they are.
Yeah. They wanted money. I said, what kind of money do you think we're going to make? This is the first time we've ever done this. We don't even know what we're going to get. You know. So.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And Kim, on the other side, you got Dennis Arnold, who's been mentioned already.
Gary Magnuson,
he's retired FBI, and he was very instrumental in the skim investigations, tracing this money that was going out of the Vegas casinos. And you've got a retired Kansas City cop turned lawyer, and Kansas City. When the skim money was going back, it was going to multiple places. Chicago, of course, got a share, and you had Detroit, Cleveland, and Kansas City, and Milwaukee. And this Gary Jenkins, as a Kansas City detective, was involved in some of the stuff with the Kansas City mob under, at that time, Nick Sabella was the...
He went after him, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so, again, and we got Warren Hull, and if you've never
heard of Warren,
he does the, he's figured out, he thinks, who killed Bugsy Siegel. He's got a real PowerPoint, very impressive PowerPoint that he shows and does about, and tells you exactly, step by step, very logically.
I read his book, and I thought, I believe it. It makes a
total
sense,
the
whole thing. Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Seen it too, and I'm just like, I'm on board with him completely.
Yeah.
And Kathy and Lynn Farren. Lynn Farren was the FBI, and he was the what they called the case investigator in the Las Vegas field office for the skim investigations, the straw man, they call them, the straw man investigations. Tremendous stories he has. And
they got
Kathy Scott, the true crime author, she's going to be there. And we've got, a guy I always really like, a guy by the name of Tim Redsall. He was on the set of Casino, and it turned out in one of the gory graphic pictures near the end where Joe Pesci and playing the part of Tony Spilotro and his brother are beaten to death in this cornfield, and they're thrown in a grave. Well, actually, it wasn't Joe Pesci or his double that went in there. It was this Tim Redsall. He went in the hole at the... and he's going to be there. He's got some memorabilia,
yeah,
too,
to
I believe.
That's right.
He made it to
the big time being nobody could recognize him. His face was full of blood, and he was laying in the ditch.
Right.
You're missing the name. What's the name?
Vito Colucci, of course.
No. That one guy, he was a former CIA agent.
Ron Fino. He was FBI and CIA, and he teaches at the academy today even at Quantico. So this guy's heavy. Not to mention he was also a operative in Iran and in Belize. And, oh, my God, this guy was like, checking out terrorists. I mean, he was spy,
amazing.
The whole nine yards. He did it all. So
he's an amazing man, and he's acting.
What?
Hello?
Dropping off.
Now I'm
your fault,
Kim.
It's your radio.
What?
It's your hookup. You're the one. We're losing connection with you. No woman has ever lost connections with me unless I want them to.
I know.
So,
I'm sure that's
said, you betcha.
I'm sure that's true. But when I meet you again.
Well, anyway, it's
going to
be an awesome lineup, an awesome lineup of people. And
it really
I think
will.
It's going to be amazing. It really is.
And boy, I can't say enough about
Ron.
We forgot
Beatles Colucci, by the way, didn't we, Denny? I don't think you mentioned the Beatles.
Yeah, I didn't mention Beto. Beto's going to be there. Beto was a Stanford cop, and he's got a book out called Rogue Town. And about the corruption in Stamford, Connecticut. And Alvito makes the rounds of a lot of the cable TV shows when they're discussing true crime cases.
Oh, I thought he wasn't coming, Robert. Robert?
Yes?
I thought he wasn't coming. Didn't we talk about that earlier? Oh, it was the other guy.
Yeah, Vito's coming.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Vito's amazing. He's on that... Justice with Janine. He's on O'Reilly Factor. This guy's around the
Justice
television
with
groups.
Janine. I wish they put me on there, whatever.
Me too.
I know true justice.
We'll give her some justice.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm talking about you. Now what do you mean we'll give her? I'll give her some true justice.
She wants to know what a mob con is. Well,
you're a married man. Mind your own business.
Okay, I hope my wife's not listening.
Oh, you guys are so funny.
No, and my wife, she'd say, go see her.
Yeah, whatever.
I just wanted to mention, and well, Robert can correct me if I'm in error here, but for people who did not sign up for the entire event, the full sessions, if they want to come and look at some of the merchandise, some of the books and DVDs and the mob memorabilia and stuff, they can buy a 1-day pass or something, can't they, Robert?
Yes, they certainly can. We have 1-day passes available, and all they have to do is come there to the registration desk, and they'll be glad to do it for them, set them up with one.
Excellent.
And that'll be at the Palace Station, and it's upstairs near the buffet, right by the buffet. There's the meeting rooms up there. You go upstairs and you find the big, I think it's A, we're in meeting room A, and it says MobCon in front of the door. And there'll be a registration desk there with two girls, and they'll take care of you if you want to go for just 1 day or an afternoon or something like that.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. Hey, talking about the MobCon, I wanted to ask you, since you and Frank are putting this on, and Denny, you are, of course, an integral part, what was the time frame from concept to fruition?
Oh, boy. Well, it actually happened a few years ago. Frank and myself and Denny and several other guys started a thing called the Mob Chronicles, which is what we were originally going to do. And that was going to be like just the four of us or five of us go out and do these, like, venues, like theaters and auditoriums, okay? Well, it didn't work out because everybody was too busy and things didn't exactly fall into place right. But during that time, I mentioned maybe we could even do a convention. And so that's probably, how many was it, 2-3 years ago, Denny?
Yeah, it might have even been 4 or 5. It's been,
okay,
been a little
be
bit.
Okay, 4 or 5, yeah. So we've had the idea. We tossed it around, but we never did anything with it. And then about a year ago, I said, I think we're all talking. I said, why don't we do that MobCon? I think it would go. And so that's kind of how it started. It was just an idea. It sat and festered for about 5 years, and then finally we decided, let's go for it.
Cool. What challenges did you meet on this project? You must have met some.
There's been a few. One of the challenges was the three hotels turned us down. They didn't want to even have us. One hotel booked us. Frank remembers this one.
Yeah.
And everything was set to go. We even had a contract. And then the owners of the hotel said, no, we don't want any mob stuff in our hotel. And canceled us at the last minute.
2 weeks before.
Yeah, 2 weeks before they canceled us. And so, you know, if we were kind of thinking, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. But then time went by and we decided, well, we'll try again. I went to the Palace Stations. They said, sure, we have no problem with you doing that here. And so here we are.
Yeah, but I think, it was going to be different. We were going to be a big showroom.
at the one hotel, and here we're going to do it in convention rooms.
Right,
which
it was
I
a
like more, which I'd like more, which I'd like more than that big showroom. I felt like a real jerk standing out there on a podium looking at all these people up on myself.
Yeah, we have more control in our own rooms.
You know, because I'm a friend of those who have no friends and the leader of those who have no leaders.
Well, I've got a liter of beer if you want to share that later.
I don't drink beer. I don't drink no more. Just wine. I can't help it. I'm a leader of those who have no leaders and a friend of those who have no friends.
Well, you know me, Frank. I'm a connoisseur of good food and wine.
A connoisseur?
Yeah, connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
Yeah, I know. Connoisseur. He just gulps it down. Pretty good, Robert. That's a good one. I ain't heard that one before.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have fun with the three of us. You can better believe it.
I know. Kevin, you guys are.
You know, you got to be careful in a project like this, not between us guys, but most guys are very sensitive. Guys like me, they get very sensitive, you know, and you have to be very careful that you make sure they mention their names and stuff, you know, everybody, because they get their feelings hurt, you know. And
yes,
I understand that. You know, I understand that. But it's hard to remember. Look, I think you did a TV interview today. I forgot to mention Tony Montana's name. I thought about it later. I saw it. God, I'm going to hear him conzoning. No, I committed much more names. Well, you know, you forget. It's a live feed, you know, and you're sorry as it is, you know.
Well, one of the problems is, you know, they give you like a minute, 1 minute or 2 minutes. And in that time period, you got to tell them what it's about, where it's going to be, what we're doing, and then mention 14 people. It's pretty tough to do. It really is.
And then they made a mistake today. And then they made a mistake today. They started talking about the Mom Museum, and I'm looking at them, at her like, what are you talking about? Then I corrected it. I said, no, I said, the Mob Attraction is the one that's sponsoring this event, the Mob Attraction. There's a difference between the Mob Museum and the Mob Attraction. Well, we're on board with the Mob Attraction. Correct, guys?
That's correct.
Hello, boys. Are you there?
Okay, so thank you for listening. We got you. We just got your plug in there, Spence.
That's two times today I didn't forget you, Spence.
No, I forgot it, and you didn't. You got it in there, so that's good.
Well, at your back, Robert. As I said, I'm a friend of those who have no friends. I told you that. That's why I'm ending my second book. Right, Denny? That's going to be my final words.
Exactly. Hey, Kim.
Denny, I think you should do a book on Adolf Hitler. You sound like you'd know a lot about him.
Who, me?
I probably could.
Yeah, that's probably good.
You could call it Yabul or something like that, or Yabul.
Zubkov.
Well, you can get on and say, I don't know nothing.
We don't say that no more. We can't. They have to put corks in our mouths to shut us up.
Kim.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Darling.
Yeah, you were asking about obstacles, and I just wanted to say that it's very difficult dealing, or it can be very difficult dealing with people when you got a lot of, people, all of us have egos to one degree or another, and trying to, for example, if somebody's at the wrong end of the speaker schedule. Well, are they going to get upset thinking, does that mean that I'm the poorest speaker? Are you treating me as though I'm the, maybe not the best speaker? And should I be the leadoff speaker? And so you got to be very, very diplomatic and tactful to deal with people, because somebody obviously has to be first, somebody has to be last. There's got to be a start and end.
And you know, it's not just first and last, Denny. Because I've built shows for years. You open strong and you close strong. And in the middle, you put lots of text and a lot of stuff people can get interested in.
And not every speaker is exactly the same. So some speakers are dynamic and some speakers are intriguing. You have to try to give this thing a little color so that they're not watching the same thing over and over and over again, or people start to snore. And
that's not
the speaker's fault. That just has to do with we all have different personalities. And when you put something like this together, you try to give it, you know, some up and down valleys and make it interesting. And I don't think it's about somebody
having
a bad spot.
I'm the only one that didn't complain, I think. I don't care where you put me at, where I speak at. I'll speak out in the dining room. I don't care, in the bathroom.
You got your schedule for the coffee shop at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yo, I love that one. That's the best one. Got decaf.
We're going to do a cigar party in the bar with you there, Frank.
Yeah. If I were a speaker, I would want to go last. I would want to go last.
Yeah, I think I wound up in last place. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. I'd rather not be first, to tell you the honest to God truth.
For sure.
And then you got, like Robert, I think, mentioned earlier, or Frank mentioned, you got some people, you know, who wanted money. They felt that they should be paid to do anything. And, you know, obviously the first year, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. There wasn't a big budget, a huge budget to work with. And it was an experimental thing, basically, to get off the ground. And they were hoping it turns into an annual event. But and then you got other people who, you know, well, if this guy is going to be there, I'm not coming. I mean, those types of things. So you have to work all that stuff and juggle and, again, use a lot of tact and diplomacy to keep, you know, not to hurt anyone's feelings or cause any aggravation unnecessarily. But it's all stuff
right.
that you don't necessarily realize it until you encounter some of these things going in.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I should make a point, too, that it's not just because they're mobsters or FBI agents. I've had the same thing with comedians, singers, dancers over the years. The same stuff. Why am I in the middle? How come I'm not dancing at the end? And why am I not in this number? And why am I playing this song? You know, no matter who you put together, you put 14 people together in a show or a speaking thing like this, and you're going to have somebody who says, I don't like what I'm getting, or I don't like my spot, or I don't like where I'm at. You know, it's just the way
it is.
It's like Denny says, you got to be tactful with them. But they have to understand, not everybody can be on first or last. It just doesn't matter how you
right.
do that.
Yeah, you can't. And
I don't know. I keep on losing her.
And then?
Yeah. Are you there?
I'm there,
yeah?
But I keep on losing her.
Oh,
yeah,
she is
there.
Yeah. Okay, she is there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
sorry. I guess it's me.
There.
We have a horrible connection. Robert? Have we ever
yes.
had this kind of problem on your show? No.
No, actually one time we had it with a guest, not us. You and I were fine, but his phone was all crackling.
Weren't you got a 99 cent starter by the equipment?
No, not a dollar.
Then he'll give you a loan.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. You're going in and out, so I don't know your comments back to me.
Oh, Frankie. It wasn't
Frankie,
a dollar.
You know what?
You're
getting a little personal, honey.
Well, whatever. It wasn't
whatever.
A dollar store. It was Walmart.
Hey, Kim.
Yeah.
Kim,
oh,
you got to
Robert,
stop
you're
using
not
those disposable cell phones.
Aren't
oh.
that a business, Walmart? I mean, Woolworth?
I'm on.
Cell phones, they only get, 20 minutes, and then they go out?
I know.
You got a 5 minutes.
That's it.
We still love you, Kim. I don't even know you, but I love you. You got to hear. To
I
take
love
my
you
bullshit,
too.
You got to be good.
I know. I love you, too, Robert. You're
don't
the,
get
you're
too
the
friendly.
Funniest guy. I'm glad.
Robert,
by the way, Kim.
I thought I was funny.
Hey, how did I do this? I didn't say a word.
Kim, do you still have...
I guess I sound like you with static. I don't know what she's talking about.
I guess I sound like you with static. Oh, God. You'll never have a show this funny again, Kimmy.
I know. I love it.
Kim,
oh
do you still
gosh.
Have Frank's poster?
Huh?
I do. It's next to me. It's Casino. And it says to Kim Colton.
I can't hear you, baby. You keep on going in and out.
We were talking about your poster, Frank. She got one of your posters.
To Kim Colton,
enjoy. You want to
Frank
sign?
Pulak. Denny, did
I can't
you
hear
me? You already signed it. Kim came to the grand opening of the mob
yeah.
museum.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, she's got.
And she
got
met you there briefly.
Yeah, she's got a back, and I think we all got a back connection towards me. I just keep on bouncing in and out.
It's those BTR gremlins. I'm going to have
okay.
to throw out a
I'm going
to
hang up. It's getting rough. I love you all. Bye.
I love you all.
Bye, Frank.
Bye. Oh, my gosh.
Hello? Anybody there?
Hello. I'm here.
Can you hear us?
Who's
Robert?
Left? Who's here? I'm here.
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah, I guess Frank. Did Frank leave?
Yeah,
Frank left. He's.
He was done with it. He was like over it. Like he was over it like 20 minutes ago. Okay. He was just like, I'm over this. I can't blame him. Can you hear me okay now or what?
Oh yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you're coming in pretty good.
Good. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. You know, it's these BTR.
Hello?
Yeah, you just cut out again, Kim.
You're gone,
that
Kim.
There's going to be a mob
it's
con.
It's
got to
be.
2014.
Yes, there is going to be. We hope so, anyway. As long as this one does as well as we think it will. We have, I would say, 90% sure that we're going to, yes.
Because I will be
there.
Are
you
going
to be there, Kim, the 2014?
You're darn right I will, Denny. If I was there this time, I'd probably be sleeping on your couch and cooking breakfast for you. I don't know. For you and your free guest, you know?
Yes.
Oh, OMG. OMG.
Well, if you're sleeping on my couch and cooking breakfast for me, my wife would wonder where the hell you came from.
I know, right? She'd be like, what are you doing here? Oh, we'd become fast friends. Before you know it, you'd be old news.
There you go. Yeah, well, I sent Kim one of my posters. I took it down from the post office and sent it to her. I signed it Lefty.
Well, since we have such a bad connection, I think we're gonna wrap it up for tonight, boys.
Yeah, your connection is pretty bad there, Kim.
I know.
Well, anyway, everybody, don't forget MobCon. If you want tickets, it's www.mob-con.net, mob-con.net if you want tickets. Or you can call our 800 number, 866-218-4935, 866-218-4935, and you can order tickets from our 800 operator. And I guess that's it, guys. We hope that you'll come out.
Exactly.
Roberto, I'll see you next Friday.
Okay, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, both of you. And, Alan, I just want to mention your most recent book called Adventures of a Ghost Stalker. Please check that out on Amazon.com. I thank you both I thank Frank and you and Denny, Robert and Denny. I'm so sorry we had such a bad connection. Thanks to my public relations team at ImaginePublicity.com. Our next show will be next Tuesday. Tune in as we continue to analyze cases that wreak havoc on families looking for answers and seeking justice and discuss crime-related topics with the experts. To hear a rebroadcast of tonight's show, go to www.crimewire.blogspot.com. turn on the volume at your computer, and the right here on Blog Talk Radio, Ghosts and Gangsters. Until next time, God bless and stay safe. Good night.